verses that we're all familiar with, but sometimes it's not the mysterious deep things that we really need to hear. It's the simple truth of the Scripture that needs to jog our memories. So, amen. This morning, I trust that for the next little while, I probably won't preach too long since this is the first time since my Stone Age problem. we'd like to get to you some good things out of God's book. The Lord's got good things in His Word. Do you believe that? Say amen. All right. Praise God. All right. Luke chapter 16, we want to start reading at verse 19 this morning. And praise God. Appreciate the good word of the Lord. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desirous to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then said he, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, or he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead. Amen. I'm glad for the truth of the word today. For a little while, there's two words in particular that I'd like to draw from these scriptures. In verse 25, Son, remember. Son, remember. These verses of scripture, to me, some people have called it a parable. It is not a parable. Some have called it an allegory. It's not an allegory. It is an actual happening. Jesus does not tell untruths. Amen. Was there such a man as a rich man? Or was there such a man as this Lazarus? If there was not, then Christ told an untruth. For Jesus said, there was. When you look at what Jesus said, we have to lay all of our ideas aside and accept what Jesus said as the truth. And everything in this story is true. There's nothing here that is not an untruth in this story. I want to tell you, everybody here tonight or this morning believe in heaven? Everybody believe in heaven? That there is a heaven? All right, equally. If there is a heaven, then there's no mistake, there is a hell. Jesus said there was. And he tells us in this story, amen, that there was a certain rich man. Some historians and those who deal in such things as tells us that this rich man's name was Dives, D-I-V-E-S. Amen. The only thing I can tell you for certain and sure is that Jesus said there was a certain rich man. If his name was Dives, so be it. But certainly he did have a name. And the story is a literal one. It is a story of two beggars, not just one. One beggar begged in this life. The other one begged in the next life, in eternity. So both of them wound up to be beggars. Amen. It can be seen from the actual experience of these two men that Jesus was declaring plainly, in plain terms, that the reality of the immortal soul, I mean, we are going to live forever somewhere. Amen. The consciousness of our eternal soul is very sure from these verses of Scripture. I want the Lord to help me this morning. Amen. Late last night, early this morning, several hours yesterday afternoon, I spent with these verses of Scripture. And I come to the realization that after death, we still are very, very conscious. Your conscience does not die because your body dies. Amen. The fact of the different places for the righteous and the wicked between the death that they die and the eternal resurrection after a while. There is a dwelling place between death and resurrection that you're going to spend somewhere. The important thing is to be ready when you die. Amen. The truth of torment for the wicked and the bliss for the righteous, amen, is typified in these verses of Scripture. One thing for sure and certain, those that go to heaven will never suffer again, physically or mentally. If you're ready to meet God, there'll never be another tear shed. There'll never be any more arthritis. There'll never be any more heart trouble. There'll never be any more cancer. Come on here. Amen. Thank God. The Bible even says that God himself shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We'll never cry or weep again. Thank God we have a blessed hope beyond this veil of tears. Amen. But equally to that, for those that are not prepared to meet God and unsaved and unsure about their soul, amen, there is a place that's called eternity or hell in eternity. Amen. For those that have not accepted Christ as their Savior. I want to tell you this morning, you don't have to be a very, 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 very wicked, vile individual to be lost and go to hell. Though those very, 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 very wicked individuals, amen, indeed are going to go to hell. Amen. But you don't have to be that wicked individual to die lost. Amen. And spend eternity in the lake of fire. Amen. All it takes is just putting off your soul salvation. Amen. The Bible tells us in these verses, and especially in verse 23, amen, that we read to you tonight, in hell, that is this rich man, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Amen. Did Jesus tell a truth or did he tell an untruth? Amen. Jesus said, this rich man died and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. Amen. Being in torments. Amen. It seems to me, come on, somebody say amen. Seems to me there's more than just one torment. That word torments is plural. Amen. It's enough just to have one torment. I want to tell you right now, it's enough to have one kidney stone pass. Amen. But when you have a dozen of them, that's torments. Plural. Praise God. But I want to tell you, lost in eternity without God has more than just a torment It is torments. Amen. He was totally and hopelessly indifferent. That's the reason he was in eternity lost without God's help. Amen. What got him there? It wasn't the fact that he was just a rich man. There are a lot of rich men that were good men, that were saved men. Come on here. Amen. Job was a rich man. Abraham was one of the richest men of the East. To have riches is not the problem. To have material things of life is not the problem. The problem is that you take no time for God. You're indifferent, unconcerned, amen, about things that really count in life. The ruin of this pleasure-loving man, amen, was inattention to things that were the most important. We think sometimes that making money, amen, and having a good job is very important, and it is. A man ought to provide for his family and his children. Come on here. Man ought to have a good job and make good money and provide the niceties of life as much as he is ably and possibly can do. Amen. The Bible tells us a man that won't provide for his own household is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. Amen. But I want to tell you, there's something more important than just money. There's something more important than a nice car. There's things more important than a wonderful house to live in. There's things that's more important than good clothes to wear. Come on here. We all like nice things in life. There's things that's more important than, amen, than push button this and push button that and push button something else. Amen. There are some things that is vitally, amen, imperative that we give attention to, and that is the welfare of our eternal soul. Somebody say amen. This man's problem, amen, this man's problem, this rich man, call him Dives if you want to give him that name, amen, so history does. This man, rich man Dives, if you will, amen. It was not that he had things, amen, but it was the fact that he, amen, did not give attention to the things that was the most important. Amen. And I want to tell you, that's the attitude of this American generation now. Innumerable people, amen, hey, concerning the great important question concerning their soul. Amen. The inattentive attitude of this rich man concerning Lazarus at the gate is the attitude of this generation about the all important thing. Their soul. They've got time for business. Come on, I want to preach to you this morning. We've got time for things. We've got time for pleasure. We've got time to mow the grass. We've got time to pick the garden. Come on here. We've got time to go to town, to Walmart. Amen. Holiness headquarters over there. Amen. We've got time for blue light specials at Kmart. We've got time for, amen, Giant and Food Line. We've got time for everything but the important thing of life. And that is your man, your soul is vitally important today. Amen. Help me here. This rich man Dives. His inattention, his indifference toward Lazarus, amen, at the gate. I'd like to ask you this morning, what is at your gate of life that you're not paying attention to that needs your attention? Amen. Some things you need your attention right now. Amen. Did not the Bible say today? It's a day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for he know not what a day may bring. Amen. Nobody here knows, amen, what day, what hour, amen, that you're going to cross into eternity. Amen. We have no assurances of tomorrow. But I can tell you this, you can have, amen, assurance in your soul that all is well between you and God. Amen. It's a bad thing to grow accustomed to the wrong things.
You hear that? Amen. Brother Roy is here. He had said, if you can't remember it, write it down. Amen. It's a bad thing to grow accustomed to the wrong things. Amen. We get so accustomed to sin that it no longer bothers us. Somebody say amen. I remember as a boy, amen, as a young boy, I remember we were living in at Hickory Grove out there on the farm with Papa Waddell. I remember the first time I ever saw a woman smoke a cigarette. It made an indelible impression upon my mind and heart as just a boy, a child. Amen. And to us, at that point in time, that was the most hideous thing. A woman, a lady, supposed to be a lady, smoking a cigarette. That seems such a horrible thing. But nowadays, amen, we have grown accustomed to that. It's an acceptable part of society. Sin, after a while, and when you stay around it long enough, gets to where it does not seem quite so bad. Amen. We grow accustomed to it, and wrong and sin and wicked things becomes a part of our everyday life, and we think nothing about it. Amen. To the extent that we give little thought about God, we give little thought about eternity, we give little thought about our soul. Amen. Our soul standing at the gate, amen, saying, give me some attention. I'm starving. I'm dying. Amen. I've got to face God. Amen, but we are too busy, amen, to pay attention to our soul's needs. What's at your gate that needs attention? Yeah, I'm going to get a little closer this morning to us parents. Come on here. Are y'all still with me? Is anybody listening to me this morning? Amen. What is at your gate that needs your attention now? I want to tell you, mamas and daddies, your children need your attention now. Get this. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, I'll bring them to church once a week on Sunday morning. That's not enough. Come on, Brother Savage, preach this morning. I believe I will. I want to get right down to where I can look you in the eyeball. Amen. Amen. I said, that's not enough. Amen. Come on here. You are religious indeed. Thank God. I'm glad you're here on Sunday morning church service. But your children, amen, need your attention now. Amen. Not only your soul is at stake, your children's soul is at stake. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Sunday morning Sunday school is wonderful and good, and they get taught the Word of God, but they need to be in a Holy Ghost meeting at night. Amen. Where the altars are open and Holy Ghost conviction, amen, hovers over this congregation, and they feel their need of God. They don't always get that on Sunday morning in Sunday school class, and you're going to lose their soul. Amen. Come on here. What's at your gate begging for your attention? Woo! Right now I feel like I ain't never had a kidney stone. Praise God. Hallelujah. There are some things that's vitally important and more important than things of life. And no one tell you. Somebody told me one time, said, I'll be glad when my kids get grown and quit stepping on my toes. I said, you don't know what you're saying. Because when they get grown, they step on your heart. And I'd much rather for them to step on my toes than trample on my heart. And if we don't give them the attention that they need now, come on, I'm talking to you, mamas and daddies. Amen. They're at the gate begging. Amen. Come on here. Amen. They're at the gate begging. Their soul is begging. Mama, listen to me. Daddy, listen to me. Amen. I need help. My soul is not right with God. Hey, man, help me here. Somebody said, well, how do you know they're not? Because of the things they say during the week. Hey, man, the places they want to go. Hey, man, their attitude toward you, their rebellion that rises up whenever you correct them, tells me, come on, I'm preaching to you, they need more than just Sunday morning. Wow. I didn't know I was going to get a hold of this just right like that this morning, but it's still right. Amen. We have got to have a Holy Ghost move of the Spirit in our church services. We give them everything they need in life. We put food on the table for... Boy, oh boy, oh boy, come on here. We put food on the table for them. We put a roof over their head. We put clothes on their back. Amen. We have... Come on here. We have fine automobiles for them to ride in. And when they get old enough, we buy them vehicles of their own to drive. Amen. Help me here. Ah, but they need more than that. I said, that's, amen, that's minor things. Amen, they've got to have a touch of God. Amen, help me here. We give them televisions to watch to send their soul to hell. Amen, with that filthy trash. Amen, that's piped into your home. Amen, you got cable to turn on. Amen, any channel you want to get. Amen, come on here. You've got internet in your home that while you're not there, amen, they're trancing through the internet system. Amen, the whole world in the superhighway is begging for them, amen, to come and entice them. Amen, we buy them videos, come on here, and movies that you don't have to go to the theater anymore. Amen, to watch the television. Amen, come on, are y'all still with me? And Hollywood or Hollywood. Amen. Help me here. Why is our young people wanting to dress so lewd and so wicked? Amen. Help me here. Amen. Me and my wife was talking this week. We have never seen a generation that wants to expose the flesh of their bodies. Amen. That years ago you could not have paid them $1,000 to expose. But now, amen, because of Hollywood, amen, that we are brought into our home by videos and rentals and movies. Come on here. Amen. We are losing our generation. They're at the gate begging. I need God. I need spiritual help. Amen. But we are so indifferent and we are so inattentive. We are caught up in our own little world, in my wants, in my desires, in my ambitions, in my goals in life, that we forget that there's a need out there at the door. Man, man, man. Is it all right if I preach to you a while longer? Verse 24. Brother Silas, you got that? Won't you read it for me? And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Years ago, we used to sing a song, and I haven't heard it in years. I got it on tape or CD somewhere at the house. Maybe in one of the cars. I don't remember. Amen. When the door of mercy has been closed. Oh God. This man cried. Amen. He didn't cry while he was living, but he cried after he died. Amen. The Bible said he cried, have mercy on me. But the door of mercy was slammed shut. Too late! Sin rises that he may dip the tip of his
his finger in water and cool my tongue, he might have well asked for deliverance from the whole torments of the regions of the damned as to ask for one drop of water. Neither is possible. Neither is possible. Amen. He did not get a drop of water. Amen. Neither did he get deliverance from the torments. Amen. Of the regions of the lost. Amen. I want to tell you this morning. You listen to me. Get this. If you don't get nothing else this morning. We strive to succeed in life. We strive. We put our energies. Amen. Toward being a success. And having something in life. To be something worthwhile. And that's well and good in its own time and place. But I want to tell you, earthly greatness is no guarantee of heavenly greatness. You can be great in this life and be in torment in the eternal world. Jesus teaches us in this story that judgment and reward both begin immediately after death. The Bible said, and the rich man also died and was buried, and a conjunction, the thought has not been completed, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Huh? He lifted up his eyes being in torments. Amen. Torture. The eternal judgment of God. Did you know this morning that the Bible said it is appointed unto every man once to die? That's a fact. There's two things in life that is sure, and that's taxes and death. Amen. You're going to do both. Amen. Uncle Sam's going to see to it that you pay the taxes. Amen. He'll get it out of you. Somebody said, well, they can't get blood out of a turnip. No, but he can sure cut the turnip to pieces. Amen. 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 And God's going to see to it that you die. Amen. And it's not just dying that is the problem. If a man just died and like a dog or an animal, amen, or a worm, that's all there was to it, dying would be a cinch. Be the snap of your finger. You draw your last breath, and that's all there is to it. Amen. But it is appointed unto every man once to die. But after this, the judgment. Amen. That noted atheist, I'm trying to think of his name. It slips on my mind right now. I'll think of it directly. Voltaire, on his dying bed with all of his atheist comrades around him. Amen. He said to them, "Oh, ye wretches, do not tell me there is not a hell. For my feet are slipping into the flames at this very moment. Oh, ye wretches, do not tell me there is not a God, for I am standing in his angry presence." And he died and went to face God in eternity. Amen. I wish this morning I could get you to understand, amen, that your soul need, amen, is standing at the gate begging for your attention. Amen. You may not pay any attention to this preacher this morning. Amen. You may leave out of these doors and never give it another thought. Amen. But that's the same thing that happened to this rich man Dives. Amen. He was so indifferent. He was so inattentive to the need that was at the gate. Amen. That he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment.
I want to tell you one thing. Somebody said, well, I don't have much in this life. Amen. I want to tell you. I heard somebody say not too long ago, they said, I live in a living hell. I said, you have no idea what you are saying. The worst scenario that this life could ever deal with you is almost heaven in comparison to what hell is really like.
Come on here. Somebody say amen. Oh, the torments, the regions of the damned that is lost without God. Amen. Oh, but I don't have time. Things take up my time. Amen. One day you'll have time to go to church. And one day you will have time, amen, to lay out in front of the pulpit. Amen. Someday you will come to the realization, amen, that life is so short at its longest. Somebody said, Brother Savage, someday I intend to get right with God. Someday I intend to get fixed. Amen. But you are so indifferent and so attentive. Amen. The need of your soul is knocking at the gate right now. Amen. But you don't have time. Come on here. I want to tell you one thing this morning. You may not have everything in this life that you want. Amen, but it's better to want bread here than to want a drop of water forever. Verse 25, our text. Son, remember. Man. I didn't think I'd preach this long this morning. Son, remember. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about memory. Now these two words are from the mouth of Father Abraham, which is in reality God. Amen. Okay, I really I need hardly to do more than just recall the barest outlines of this story of the rich man. And to me, he was evidently a bare selfish man. I want to tell you this morning, sin is selfish. Sin is self-centered. Me, mine, my feelings, my emotions, my hurts. Come on here. Am I doing all right this morning? Amen. He was a... It seems to me, reading these verses, that this man was a very selfish man, because he had only one thing in mind, and that was things that pertained to him that would make him happy. He wasn't concerned about his children. He wasn't concerned about Lazarus. He wasn't concerned about his servants. He wasn't concerned about anything or anybody else but just his things. His, amen, happiness. His own pleasure. Amen. To say this man was unobservant at the least. Amen. I'm an unobservant man, and obviously lived for himself with no thought of tomorrow. And certainly no thought of eternity. Amen. You remember the story that Jesus told about a man who had a bumper crop? And he had more grain than what he had barns to put it in. Amen. Come on here. Amen. And he said, this is what I know I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns.
Amen. And then will I say, and therewith shall I bestow all my goods. And then will I say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, for thou hast much goods laid up. It was not wrong for that man to be very prudent. Amen. And to have bigger barns. That was not the problem. Come on here. It was not the problem, the fact that he had a bumper crop. That really wasn't the problem at all. Amen. The fact is that he gave no thought about his soul and about eternity. He was only interested in one thing, and that was pertaining to him and his good pleasure and his rest and his ease for this moment and for this day. Amen. I want to tell you this morning, amen, when we look at eternity, this rich man had no thought of tomorrow. He had no thought of eternity. He had no thought about God. He had no thought about his soul. He had no thought about what's at the gate. Amen. Not only does this story give us a picture, amen, of their day-to-day activities of their lives, but it lifts the veils and gives us a picture of the future of the two men in the eternal world. Amen. One was comforted, the other was tormented. Amen. And I want to tell you, amen, if you have not paid attention to what's knocking at your door, amen, in eternity, you're going to be crying for a drop of water. One tormented. Ask a request for just a slight relief of his pain. Answer. Son, remember? You went to church on Sunday morning, May the 30th, 2004. The preacher preached. Amen. And you felt in your own heart that you should pray. You ought to pray. Come on here. Amen. You should have. But you didn't. You didn't. Son, remember the time when you rode down the road by yourself and something pricked your heart. And you felt like you need to go to church and get some things fixed. But it passed. And you never give it any more thought, any more attention. Oh, this man was not only inattentive to the cry of Lazarus, but he was inattentive to the cry of his soul's need. And I think today that that is still today's great sin. It's not that people don't want to get saved at some point in time. It's not that they don't have good intentions after a while, giving their heart to God. Just not today. It's not this week. I know. I hear the preacher knocking on my gate. Amen. I feel conviction tugging at my gate. Amen. I feel the need. There's something going on down inside of me. Amen. But I don't have time. Come on here. Son, remember. Amen. It may have been that there were other things which claimed this man's attention. Amen. He had a lot of business to attend to. I'm going to preach to you. Amen. The next few minutes before I get through here. He had a lot of business in the business world to take care of. He had things he had to get done that was demanding his attention. Amen. There were so many loose ends and so many strings, amen, that he had to get a hold of and pull together and hold on to at one time. There's so much competition out there. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Demands my attention and my time. Amen. I don't have time for anything else. So much in the battle of life that it seems like it's frustrating. Amen. And from day to day, the activities that come and go and that put let me. My children need me. Amen. My wife needs me. My husband needs me. My mom and daddy needs me. My job needs me. My business needs me. Amen. My field needs me. Come on here. My garden needs me. Amen. But you see, help me here. Are y'all listening to me?
And then, amen, in spite of all of that, preacher, you don't understand. I'm so burnt out. I'm so exhausted. I've just got to take time off for a little fun and relaxation and pleasure. And I just don't have any time left. Son, remember. Memory can be a wonderful thing. I mean, it can be an absolute wonderful thing. I have fond memories of my childhood that I value. And the older I get, the more valuable those memories become. My memory of those quail flying into the side of the house and providing food for us. That's been such a mainstay to me through the years. My memory of Mama and Daddy around the table praying for food for us children to survive. And my memory of them giving us potatoes to eat and them eating the peelings. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? I have fond memories of my mother and my dad, my childhood years on the farm. Wonderful memories. And I'm grateful for that. Are y'all listening to me? I have good memories of my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. Amen. They were some of the most wonderful people in the world. Amen. But I want to tell you, it's very doubtful if a man can ever master his own memory. You hear that? Memory with its subtle power of taking up our time and taking up space in our life. Amen. In a flash of a moment, we are reminded of things we wanted to forget and we thought was buried years ago. Come on here. Amen. Hit that memory with its power of recollecting things long ago dead and buried. Memory with total disregard whether you want to remember it or not. Amen. Something is said. Something is done. Something you see brings back a memory. Amen. From 40 years ago that you thought you had forgotten and didn't want to remember. And all of a sudden it's there all over again in front of you. Amen. Equally, memory can be a wonderful thing. But I'm going to tell you, as wonderful as it is, the Word of God leaves me in no doubt as to this one thing. Death will intensify memory. Death will increase memory's strength. Intensifies the power of its own ability to remember. Memory. Amen. Death brings out in our memory things that we have tried to hide all of our lives. Son, remember. When the Bible speaks of where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, it's talking about, son, remember, the ability to bring back, amen, things that happened in life. Did not Jesus say in this story, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime, yeah, I remember things in my lifetime. I remember, amen, I had some bad experiences and I had good experiences. Amen. But you had an opportunity to pray and you never give God, amen, 10 minutes of your life. Memory. Memory in heaven is going to be rich too. Amen. Marcia, you can come and get ready. Book of Revelations, we read about the songs of the redeemed. Amen. Did you ever stop to wonder what inspires those songs? What inspired those redeemed tens of thousands, innumerable number that no man could number. What inspired their memory? Amen. It was their memory that inspired their song. Amen. They said in their song, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, unto him be glory and honor and power and dominion forever and ever. And they said, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, memory is the foundation of heaven's blessedness. Amen. Even as you are known. Come on here. Though there is neither marrying or giving in marriage in heaven, we understand and know that. Jesus tells us that. But we shall be known of each other, who they are. Amen. And who they were while we were here on earth. Amen. Come on here. We will remember that Mac Pullen, amen, was a board member. Amen. For, come on here. Y'all listen to me. 25 years at the church. You will remember. Come on, come on, come on here. Amen. That Brother Savage was your pastor for 29 years. Amen. And I hope it's a lot longer. Hey, amen. When you get to heaven, amen, you remember everything right here now. Amen. Just as sure as memory is the foundation of heaven's blessedness, memory is the foundation of eternal remorse for those like the rich man. Reap the harvest of a life of heedless, careless, indifferent, inattention, unconcernedness about the knock that is at the gate. Son, remember. And I'm going to close with verse 31 this morning. Read it, Brother Silas. What a contrast between the two destinies of two different men. Lazarus and the rich man. What a contrast in their destinies. One's in paradise, the other in the torment of eternity lost. God has done all he can do. Come on here. I said God has done all he can do. And believe it or not, there are times that this pastor feels like that I have done all I can do. Now, it's your choice. You have to decide whether or not you're going to feed that's knocking at the gate of your heart, or you're just going to ignore it. Read that again, Brother Silas. Amen. Got five brethren back there. They're still on earth. They're still living. Send Lazarus back from the dead. They've got Moses and the prophets. And if they won't hear them, they will not hear the one rose from the dead. Now I want to say, without trying to be facetious in any way, you don't hear this old gray-haired preacher, and you won't hear Jesus Christ that rose from the dead and is knocking at the door of your heart. You would not listen to Jim Booten if he came back from the dead. You would not listen to Clyde Woodard if he came back from the dead.
You would not. Am I preaching to y'all this morning? You'd not listen to Ollie Pullen if they came back from the dead. And you wouldn't even listen to Doug Settle if he came back from the dead. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Yet unpersuaded. Hover over this place. Oh God. Spirit of the Lord, don't just walk the aisles of this building. Get in between these pews. God, touch some heart this morning. Touch somebody's soul. There's so many here this morning that need your help. I know, Lord, you're standing at the gate and you've been knocking. And they haven't paid you as much attention as they should have at all. But I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, you'd get right down in front of their face. Pluck the heartstrings of their soul. They may feel their need of God this morning.